You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Your work seems tedious and tiresome. Well, it can also be God's gift, the means through which people give and receive the help they need. Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life. Fulfill within us, gracious Father, the work of your Spirit. By the power of your love in Christ, transform us so that we do not work merely for money. Rather, help us discover in our work opportunity to serve you and our fellow human beings. Give to leaders in business and industry integrity and compassion. Give to all who labor diligence and the desire to do their work faithfully as unto you. Keep all malice and mischief from our hearts and homes. Grant that we may not disregard the call of our Savior Jesus Christ to love you with all our strength, to serve you with our whole mind, and to worship you in the holiness which he alone gives. Hear us for his name's sake. Amen. I can't help but wonder how many different types of work are represented among us who are participating in this radio experience today. You know the work you do, of course, and I know my job, but think of all the others. An engineer and an announcer and producer here, and where you are, an accountant, chemist, contractor, teacher, doctor, housewife, salesperson, machinist, architect, nurse, designer, farmer, dentist, carpenter, secretary, postal service worker, stewardess, clerk. Wherever we are, we live among people whom God has blessed with a diversity of gifts, training, and abilities. But the real question is more than one of number or variety. Why do people have a job? Why work? From the Bible, we hear the words of the Apostle Paul saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by so toiling one must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So we work because that's part of God's gift of life to us. How we go about our work is an important part of how we go about living. All of our life is controlled by the call of God to become members of his kingdom and partners in eternity with him. This is an offer with no strings attached. It is simply the action of God's redeeming love for us. He wants us to be forgiven of the sins which separate us from him, so that we can live in constant communion with him, and thus realize our primary purpose in life. He wants our lives to be united with Him through a knowledge of His love and care for us. God comes to our situation, the place where you live and the place where I work. He comes to us as we are, with all the obligations and the opportunities of our occupation and our relationship with other people. He does not want me to leave my job to go on a spiritual pilgrimage. He does not want you to enter a holy order so that somehow you may better qualify yourself for His blessings. God bestows all of His gifts to us right where we are. God does not say that we must come up to His level before we can have fellowship with Him. He offers fellowship with Himself through the promise to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. God calls us to accept this forgiveness and fellowship through faith in Jesus Christ. The fullness of God's grace comes to us whether we are in the most humble circumstances, humanly speaking, or the most affluent circumstances. Whether I am in an unskilled occupation as a street cleaner, or you are in the demanding position of a corporation president. And it's not necessary that we leave either position, street cleaner or president. Instead, that position is part and parcel of the new life which God bestows upon us as we receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Our job, then, is not a means by which we earn respectability or status before God. We cannot acquire any religious stature before God by being successful in a certain occupation, no matter how lofty the aims and purposes of the job. Eternal life with God is a gift of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That gift is received by faith alone, as that faith attaches to God's promises in His Word. The Apostle Paul said that for everyone, the Word of God is the only means of life. When he said his farewell to the elders of the congregation in Ephesus, he observed, "And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God bestows His grace through His Word. The gospel of Christ is the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes. God lets His grace, His undeserved love for us, flow out to us through His Word. This Word comes to us as we study it, listen to it, and meditate upon its significance for us. Through His Word, God is doing two things for us. First, God is building us up spiritually in this life. More and more, God unfolds within us and increases within us the life of His Spirit. We gain a better knowledge of God and of His will for us. What happens then is that our decisions and our desires, our whole character, assume more and more the nature of Christ Jesus, who has purchased us for God. When men and women and children are thus built up into Christ, they remain steadfast and loyal to God and resist both evil and error. Secondly, through the power of His Word, God is able to give us the inheritance in the life to come. I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. To join the saints in heaven is our firm hope in Christ. This heavenly inheritance is a gift of God through His Word of grace. In fact, the Bible names us believers as the children of God and the heirs to whom this gift is conveyed. So the present condition that we enjoy as believers in Christ is the free gift of God's grace through the power of His Word. And this gift becomes our present possession through Christ, right here and now, in our present occupation and in our current situation. God has already been at work among us in many different ways. With providential love, He has continued to care for us and to watch over us. Finally, as it were, He catches up with us and takes over from within by the power of His Spirit. The person who has received the forgiveness of Christ and the life which God offers through Christ becomes a person in and through whom God now acts. the believer becomes a genuine cooperator with God in achieving the work which God undertakes in the world. The believer becomes the agent through whom God's grace and watchful care now also reach other people. Christians know that their duties and responsibilities, obligations and work, are not an accident, but that they too are really a part of the gift which God has given them. God has been busy, even before we knew about it, to provide the means by which we may be His agents to serve our neighbor, even in a complex technological age and society such as ours. This knowledge will help to lift our dullest task to a new level. It will bring our dreariest routine to a new dignity. We have it to do because God has given it to us to do. We have been apprehended by God, grasped by God, chosen by God to receive forgiveness and life and our own particular work, so that we in turn may be God's activity for the benefit of our neighbors, our co-workers, our family. How God was at work in the Apostle Paul is seen from Paul's work. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have showed you that by so toiling one must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So that's the second part of the answer to the question, why work? Not only is it God's gift to you, a part of your whole life of forgiveness in Christ, it is God's gift to you so that you will be able to give to someone who needs you. Think of the excellent example of Paul. Paul was a maker of tents by trade, and as he held out his hands and talked about them, they probably documented his labors with calluses. Why did he earn his own living, and something in addition? Some of his money he used for his assistants, who went all about Asia preaching the gospel of Christ. It's probable that most of Paul's income was devoted to that purpose. He invested his income in the gospel. Then he also used some of his money to help people who were in need because they were sick. Paul's work of aiding people in need was his way of effectively remembering a particular word of Christ. Paul quoted from the lips of Jesus himself, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What's the implication of Paul's comparative here? There is a blessing in taking, in receiving. Paul, for example, was happy for the gift sent by the Philippian Christians. He experienced the blessings of their love toward him. By receiving their gifts with gratitude, he was blessed by this taking. However, a greater blessedness lies in the right kind of giving. Remember how Christ emphasized giving in his discourse on the last day. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he shall set the believers on the right hand and the unbelievers on the left. To the unbelievers he will say, "Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." But to the believers he will say, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. As you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." The whole glory of Christ's gospel is that it is nothing but giving. Christians who partake of this gospel through their faith in Christ then find their lives are caught up into this giving. They become united with God, the most blessed giver. He gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him has everlasting life. Christ Jesus gave and gave until he gave his life into death for us. Paul enjoyed the blessedness of giving so that he could say of himself, "As poor, but making many rich." And in the exercise of our relationship with the Heavenly Father, we through Christ begin to discover, blessed it is rather to be giving than to be taking. That's why we work, so that we may have to give to anyone who needs, so that like the Apostle Paul, we may minister to our own necessities and to the necessities of those who are dependent upon us for help, and so that we may support the weak, the needy, the sick. When we work so that we will have something to give, our work becomes meaningful. The agricultural worker who gets up on a cold dawn to milk cows may find that work just as loathsome as the electrician who gets called out at midnight to repair a fractured power line. But to have meaning, our work must not necessarily be convenient or pleasant or exciting. What our work must have is necessity. When it has necessity, it has meaning. It is when we feel necessary that our work gets our best attention. Now, this is just how necessary your work is. Your work is a part of God's economy for this world. Your work has been given you by God to keep you harnessed to your real assignment, that of helping your neighbor. Your work is the means by which you have and can supply your neighbor when that neighbor is in need. Your work is the means by which God continues to exercise order and security in the world that he has created. Einar Billing, way back in 1909, wrote a booklet which he entitled Our Calling. In it, he points out three reasons why we have jobs. First, our job educates us, because through its toilsomeness and through its irksomeness, it disciplines us. It's a productive discipline, which is far more effective than the artificial discipline of the person who withdraws from daily work to do something spiritual. Second, it becomes the means through which we can serve our neighbor. Our income provides us with the resources we must have to be helpful to other people. And third, our job makes us a positive contributor to community life, order, peace, and security. Why do you work? Not to acquire a religious stature. Christ's forgiveness for your sins is the only and fully adequate basis for your fellowship with God. This forgiveness is a gift given through the gospel and received by your faith in Christ. You work because by it God wants to keep you harnessed to your real assignment, helping your neighbor. Make your work the means by which you support the gospel and help the needy. Then you will become necessary. In that necessity, your work will find new joy because you have found new meaning. Amen.